Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You are part of our 600,000 listening level, American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is, we will never quit. American Muslim 360 is number one Muslim radio station.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us, or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, peace and blessings to you, dear listening audience, and welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, with God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We are going to continue our discussion from our last week program. We talked about language and the culture environment and how language was used to influence government and governance. This week, we want to talk again about language, but we want to look at how positive language can influence the life of the human society. So we're gonna expand our observation and analytical perspective a little bit today by looking at the effects of language in the opposite direction. You know, Imam Muhammad gave the booster language, the importance of language when he talked about we are living in an oppressive language environment. So knowing that and being aware of that, what is the opposite? So if we want to have a better life, we should think about improving the language environment that creates that life. And we're gonna have some discussions on that today. So welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, where we take a look at how the influence of the religion of El-Islam, the principles and beliefs in El-Islam have a positive effect on the Western culture, the influence, how we can influence this Western culture with the revelation that Almighty God has revealed to humankind. So we have our usual outstanding panel, Professor Rabbani Muhammad and Michael Hameen. Yeah, so we're going to, as usual, invite Professor Rabbani to greet us. Assalamu alaikum, Professor Rabbani. Peace and blessings. Welcome to...
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi barakatuh.
Shukran.
Alaikum, assalam.
Yes, please share with us, Professor, some concerns you might have, observations on the topic, and some recommendations, because we really want to look at how to change this oppressive language impact. Yes,
well,
make it more.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We witness that God, Allah, is one and one alone. He needs no partners or no helpers. And we witness that Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, of 1,400 years ago or so, 1,450 years ago, is the seal of the prophet, the prophet that would come to give you new language or clarify that which went before it and clarify that language and give you new language that would enliven you and bring hope to those who have been oppressed and who are being oppressed. And we thank Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, for his efforts, his family, and his companions, as well as all of those who followed his footsteps. And we also thank our leadership, thank Allah for our leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Professor Farad Muhammad for their efforts and their work. And may Allah forgive them their sins and grant them the highest level of paradise.
And all of
those people that I've mentioned, there's a commonality of what is common to all. They were carriers of language, of words. And in the Quran, in the chapter 21 of the prophets, it speaks about, in the first ayat, it says, closer draws unto man their reckoning, and yet they remain stubbornly heedless of its approach. Whenever there comes unto them any new reminder or any new language from their sustainer, they but listen to it with playful amusement. Their hearts set on passing delights. Yet they who are thus bent on wrongdoing conceal their innermost thoughts when they say to one another, is this Muhammad or this language or this person that's speaking the language anything but a mortal like yourself? Will you then yield to this spellbinding eloquence with your eyes open? So now, sadaqallahu alayhi. Now this, and God and Allah speaks the truth. Here we find in our a battle that's occurring with language, giving language. And we know from our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, radiallahu anhu, he was the one that established the term words make people. And we are always, and we are battling in a adverse word environment. And we can see that it's having a detrimental effect on especially our community, African-American community, and it's having an effect all over the world with language. And language, and as Imam W. Muhammad said, that words make people. And you can see these words that are being used and banded around having a tremendously negative effect on our community, and that we have solutions to that in the language that we've been given in the Quran that speaks about your future as well as your past, what happened in the past. Not one of the communities, as it says, not one of the communities that we destroyed in bygone time would ever believe their prophets. Will these then be more willing to believe? No. See, so we have to work hard to deal with people who want to do right and want to be right. So our efforts with the youth should be the ones who are interested in being who are achievers, who want to be successful, and
yeah.
The rest of those who want to battle these egregious ways of life and language, either they're going to have to come around the pressure or the adverse effects that's going to have on them is going to drive them to Almighty God. Because
yeah.
there is a avenue, there's a gate that they can go through. If not, then they're going to continue to suffer. So
yeah.
We're going to start always losing children, male and female, young kids, because they reject, they listen to what we say, and they accept it as no more than amusement and fantasy.
Yes.
So
that's a very important point you brought up. Thanks so much for the Quranic reference. That sheds a lot of light in itself on the vanity and whatnot, how it's influenced people. You know, Imam Muhammad coined that phrase and did an article, a little small book, Life, the Final Battlefield. And in that presentation, he talked about how life itself would take you out if you disrespect its purpose. Life itself will take you out. So, Michael, please share with us some thoughts you may have on this topic.
Thank you, and assalamu alaikum to everyone. The programming, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, and other programming on AM360.org are a part of communicating a language whose effects would be and should be to put words and ideas forward that will correct and exchange the oppressive environment. It's just, I'm here in Jacksonville, Florida, and, you know, storms have come through Florida, and storms, you know, maybe of lesser degree come through various areas of our country and from wherever our listeners are hearing us. And the storm has an effect, you know, the barometric pressure changes. You can feel in the air a difference from a sunny day, a day without the storms, and how, you know, I've often been fascinated by how when the winds pick up, how they affect particularly the trees.
Mm.
And the trees rock back and forth, and sometimes they, you know, they the wind is so strong they bend, you know, and maybe branches break off. But you know, it's like it was almost like they're doing a dance or they're speaking, you know, they're animated in such a way that, for me, you know, it's attracting, you know, the movement. But I'm saying that to say, you know, Allah talks to us in the Quran about a good word connected with a good tree, and also how we as human beings are like trees, you know, in our development, you know, with the roots down and the tree growing up out of the earth and branches spreading. And all of these instructing signs are designed to help our growth as human beings. But when we get words and an environment of words that does away from seeing ourselves connected with Mother Nature, then the process comes about where the language affects us in a negative way. And lastly, I remember listening to how the colonies, we had America and other Western cultures, England and others, England in particular, as a colonist, you know, developed a thing so much where, you know, they talk prowess, their power being around the world, and that the sun never sets on the British Empire, their colonizing power. But I'm raising them in terms of sharing their education and disrupting the education of the colonies that they took over with their power, with their military power, and how I've heard that language being said, there's an arrogance. There's a type of arrogance, intellectual arrogance within the language itself. And if you look at our English language in terms of, you know, those who are able to use it, they go into education and they teach an arrogance of the human being above Mother Nature. And people need to know that Mother Nature, don't try to fool Mother Nature. Mother Nature is bigger than us, and I'll stop there.
Yes. And you know, I was listening to your comments, Michael, about the storm. You know, we're in Florida here. We have so many storms. I've seen them over a period of many, many years. And, you know, and there's a quietness before the storm. A quietness before the storm. Even during the storm, when that eye gets over an area, it gets completely silent. It's just a peaceful environment that you would think, oh boy, look how calm it is. Be so calm and quiet, and then for a few minutes, then all hell breaks loose again. You know, the winds pick up, they start roaring, moving things around, and you know, and we have to look at these signs and be very cautious when we don't hear activity, when we don't see the movement. But certainly we want movement. We want to see movement going. And we enjoy that quiet period. It reminds us of a peaceful state that Allah wants for everyone. But to get there, sometimes you have to move some things around. You got to move some things around. So this is what we want to do. We want to create the language environment that will help motivate what we are trying to achieve as productive citizens in this country. So let's take a break, a pause for the cause. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Inshallah.
Thank you for supporting CWSC Annual Telethon to help us financially secure our Intelligentsia operations. Take a moment and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making a tax-deductible contribution at CWSC.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our home page. It's convenient, safe, and secure, and you can contribute online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can also make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operation. If you have any difficulty at all in making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297, and a representative will be happy to assist you. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular recurring gift level is just $9.99 a month, or 33 cents a day. And it's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our Intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world into a better place for all people. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel at any time. And of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is multiplied blessings of charity, especially for CWSC.us.
Very, very interesting. So, welcome back to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Professor Rabbani, I have a question for you I'd like you to address. You share with us some thoughts that you may have on how we can improve our interaction with language as well as our distribution or sharing language, come in contact with. I know, and I'm asking you that specifically. I know you were an educator. You had to deal with a lot of our young minds, and I'd appreciate your suggestions on this particular topic, because what we want to achieve, we don't want to just talk about the problem, but let's experiment, explore on how to solve the problem. Give us some suggestions if you would, please. Professor, are you on mute? So, Michael, am I being hurt?
Okay, I got it. Yeah. I had it on mute.
Thanks.
I was saying, well, we have to follow the language of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and his example. And he comes into an environment where the people had their traditions and their habits. And in order to change the tradition and habits, he had to speak and give them a new language and an example in his life. So leaders, every time there's an event or some kind of controversy, the leaders use the language of the controversy rather than using the language of the solution. You see, and the solution that we've had presented to us and to the world, when Allah tells His Prophet to that the people when they present the language, they reject it because of their their love and their fancy for the life that they are living, you see? So the leadership, I recall when I used to hear the leader of the Palestinians, Yasser Arafat, speak, and I was, may Allah forgive my sins and grant him paradise, I used to say, why don't he open up with Bismillah Rahman Rahim, you know? And I said to myself, I said, well, if I'm ever in that position, before I say anything, I'm going to give honor to Almighty God Allah, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, and then I'll start talking about the topic or the subject at hand. That's going to, first of all, for those people who don't know, they're going to ask, well, why did you start off like that? So now they're asking questions. We have young people we speak to on these different occasions and controversies, like what's going on with the basketball player who happened to promote this film on social media. And as a result of that, there's a big controversy. But no one has spoke about, you know, the effects that it has on young people and how to solve this problem and where this problem comes from, you see? So there's a great opportunity even in chaos to make advancements. Like yesterday, like you said, we had a storm yesterday here in Florida, right?
Yeah.
But you can't tell it today. Where I am now? The sun is shining. There's no clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
It's so crisp and clean, you know?
The air is fresh from all the water and wind cleaning up things.
Yeah, all the leaves and stuff, everybody's gotten out here and cleaned off the leaves, and the streets in the parking lot is clean. It really saw, and that came after a terrible situation. So we know that Allah is always in charge of all affairs. So all we have to do is to challenge, first of all, the language and show the harm in the language and show the correction of that language that will suit their heart. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that heart has to be pointed to and directed to give it the best life, you see? So language gives you that. And the language of Quran and the Tafsir of Muhammad the Prophet, Imam W.D. Muhammad, that, first of all, it will intrigue your thinking and enlighten you, and if you don't like it, it challenges you. And I think we're all ready for the challenge, but we want to give the solution. We have the solution, overcoming the youth and the way they are in their language, trying to impress each other. And then we have a group of people who are behind the scenes, like the Wizard of Oz, behind the curtain, that's controlling the emotions of our people and causing the youth, because they don't have any foundation, and the adults have not given them foundation to ward off the effects of the kind of influences that are being placed upon them by the people that they can't see, and the wealth, the false wealth that have been placed in front of them, and that only heightens their appetite to be more corrupt in their language. And that is with a group of people that was mentioned, and especially people who have had religious education but reject the religious education for the material world. That's the two triangles, one triangle going up and one triangle going down. Those are the two pairs, the material and the social. And they were taught not to speak about their private concerns, to the public.
Yes.
But take advantage of the material things.
Yes. Professor, I heard this week that the Academy Awards, the Grammys, were going to create a social category for social reform music. I think it was very, very interesting, and it was a Muslim sister working too. I didn't can't remember her name right now, but I want our listeners to look it up, that the Grammys for the award is creating that category where there would be a social reform category where music would be awarded according to its positive influence on the society. I thought this was revolutionary in terms of its concept that there would be competition to create the best socially conscious, I think is the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
For music for social change. Yes, my wife over here giving me that language, social change.
But that's part of one of the four birds we refer to as culture.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get Michael in here. Michael, sitting back over there, please share with us some concerns you have on this particular topic here. How and share with us some ideas maybe that we can implement. You know, I mentioned one that certainly our artists gonna have a platform now. Maybe that would be better exposure for our Muslim artists and their intellect in dealing with these issues. But share with us some concerns you may have. Are you on mute?
Yes, sir. And we do have a caller in the queue, and we invite the other listeners to press 1. To share their comment, but I just quickly say we used to talk about, you know, like certain language, you better watch your mouth. And oftentimes we, you know, in today's society and culture, people will say almost anything,
it's definitely not as conscious.
Crazy idea of freedom got them with loose mouths. You know, the mouth is loose. You know, they don't think about what they say. And that's one thing that we can do and be, you know, make ourselves and others aware the power of language.
Yeah.
I grew up with sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. But that's a doggone lie. That ain't true. I'll stop there. Don't get me started.
Let's go to our call. Thank you, Michael, for sharing that. Call us. Take your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Abu Lal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Praise be to Allah for the hosts that we have on the show today. So, alhamdulillah for that. And assalamu alaikum to the people who listen and praise be to Allah. Something I wrote I'd like to share. A word is anything that sends a message to the mind.
Thank you.
And this environment, I see why people are crossing the line. The name of this forum is Actions Be Slaughtered Than Words.
Mm-hmm.
Business. Built on a foundation of concern for our survival as a community and access to the global society. An ethical and knowledgeable force in America. People's lives being changed because of our intelligentsia. Fulfilling all obligations. Sharing Quran, the best communication, and scriptural education. So the world can have the best perception. Correction of scripture brings completion and the logical conclusion. The whole life to be a life of prayer and charity. We need money. We have to qualify fighting against deception and lies, building all of the institution that this world needs, mutual consultation at home and abroad, showing the world what every man taught, obeying God and man's law. Prophet Muhammad's lifestyle wasn't wild or foul. If the generation of Z and hip-hop movement poisoned the global environment. Obeying God and man's law. Prophet Muhammad's lifestyle wasn't wild or foul. Ills and vices in this society must be stopped. Have children's lives on the chopping block. Teach them to be accountable. They need their own schools where they help them to be more responsible. You know, when we say why we don't have the we need money for this and that and other, right? But no, we need to eradicate what's stopping us from able to have generational wealth. So, you know, so praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Bilal, so much for that. You know, my wife, Manira, just shared with me the lady's name. Maimuna Yusuf is the lady who lobbied the Academy Awards to create a category for social change, musical and arts for social change. And I thought, when I heard that, I heard it on NPR, and I heard her talking, and she identified herself as a Muslim and talked about how there was more to Muslim life than what we've seen on TV and et cetera, et cetera, all of the bad reviews. That, you know, she really did a little dowel in her presentation on why being recognized on NPR, interviewed on NPR, about the category for social change that's going to be coming in the Grammy Award ceremony. So I thought this was one of the most exciting things that I've heard in a while. The sister name is Maimuna Yusuf. Check it out, listening audience. Okay, and... So, Professor, we're going to circle back to you. Or Michael, you had any more you wanted to add before I circle back to Professor Labonte?
We need to be more conscious. Conscious of language, you know, and its value. And I think that was particularly when Imam Muhammad just didn't share with us, you know, okay, you know, language environment and its effects. He gave an example. The first time I heard him focus on this was he went to the development that he grew up in the Nation of Islam. And he very sharply shared, recognized that the Nation of Islam, you know, we were known for bean pies. We were known for Muhammad Speaks newspapers. But he said that the Nation of Islam was more than bean pies and newspapers. It was a language environment. And then when you think, for those that knew, whether they were in the Nation of Islam or outside of the Nation of Islam, but they had some connection with the nation, they could observe, oh, that's how Billy became so respectful. And wearing the suits, and, you know, his whole, you know, he just changed. He wasn't the same Billy that we knew, you know, just running off at the mouth and getting into stuff.
Yeah.
So you could relate. Okay, language environment, that's what did it for Billy, you know. And if we are aware, we were also told that if we carried ourselves a certain way, it would demand, the behavior would demand respect. And so we put it into practice. And the white man didn't treat us like any old kind of Negro. You know, we were treated differently because we acted differently. You know,
yes,
we gave him an honest day's work. It wasn't, you know, that old devil. No, we treated him with respect, Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so. And if we were working for him, you know, we showed that we were productive, you know. We were in the group of the best workers that he had. You know, so that kind of consciousness has to be raised.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, and it has to be demonstrated. I appreciate that.
And we have another caller.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go. Let's go hear from our caller, then we're going to take a break. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Manera Javier Uma. I'm calling from Melbourne, Florida. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I just wanted to give two examples of the power of language and how it can affect the change in the thinking and the psyche of the human being. In one example, Imam Wafdi Muhammad posed a rhetorical question to us, who is my true self? Who am I truly? And the answer was, your true self is a righteous Muslim. Is a righteous Muslim. And it answered that core question, but it also sparked that response in us whenever you would ponder, you know, that who you truly are. It gave you a gauge to go by and created a strength to push forward, to strive toward righteousness, because that's your true self. And then the second example is Barack Obama, you know, the thinking that a minority, an African-American, can't be president of the United States. His slogan was, yes, we can. Yes, we can. So at every point of doubt that we couldn't push forward, the rallying cry was, yes, we can. Yes, we can. So these are just two examples of the power of language, of how it shapes us in our spirit and our mind to help motivate us in a positive direction. So I just wanted to make those comments.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing. That's my newly wedded wife there, making a contribution on preparing to make it in the land of plenty, going down into the historical archives. So, Michael, let's pause for the cause. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Inshallah. Look like, are we having some technical difficulties? So, Michael, I'm not sure. Okay,
it's a new day. It's a new day for Alice Love.
In America.
It's a new day. It's a new day for
today I'm a Muslim too. Today I'm a Muslim too. Today I'm a Muslim too. Today I'm a Muslim too.
A new day for Al-Islam. New day for Al-Islam. So, alhamdulillah, it's really a new day. So, Professor Rabbani, we're going to circle back to you there, my brother, and we want you to please share with us some information you would like to share on this topic, if you would.
I don't know. I just heard that. I just heard that music, and I started doing the old something.
had me a little getting a little motivated.
through my thought pattern off.
Yes, I'm a Muslim too.
Yeah.
Damn,
I don't know, man, but
it
was jamming, I'm telling you. Yeah, I mean, like the sister said about the, you know, it was kind of contradictory in Nation of Islam. Remember now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us this, who is the black man? The Asiatic black man is the maker, the owner, creator of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe, right? And then he goes and says, "Well, who are you? Who I forgot the. You are the.
What is your true self?
Who is your own self? I'm a righteous Muslim. You see. So now Phoenicians are who you are. Now one of the biggest problems that we have in America among African Americans is the label of who you are. Everybody calling us." Before we started out as being boy, colored guy, colored man, colored person, then you had the Negro that became, but these were words that we didn't have any say in establishing, you know? Then all of a sudden, black man. Of course, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the at the forefront of establishing that because of the effect that it had on bringing the quality and the character and your self-motivation up, you see. And, of course, the language of Farad Muhammad, Professor Farad, he understood that language, and he gave us a whole different language and changed our whole disposition. So the language that we talking about is the language that Almighty God has sanctioned through his prophet, peace be upon him, and the excellence in his servant, Imam W.D. Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, also that we benefit from. And in the Bible it says, there'll be a few saved and many shall be lost. So, and then it says also in Quran is that no man could bear the burden of another. So all of these things are pointing to the fact that our message is to deliver the message clearly through our actions and our words, and the rest is left up to Allah, for he is the creator and the manager of all affairs, you see? So we don't have to go through lamentations like the Jews. When I say Jews, I'm talking about those people who follow the teachings of Moses that was revealed to Moses by Almighty God, not those who broke away and became renegades. And these are the people that we are dealing with now that use the religious cover and created a whole different concept, use it to their own political and material advantage. They use the word white man, but then when you talk about an Arab, that's not anti-Semitic. But when you talk about them, that's anti-Semitic. When there's wrong being done, and we know that these people, many of those people, in the Quran, it says, there are believers in Christianity, and there are believers in Judaism or in the Jewish religion, but most of them are corrupt. And Imam Muhammad said, "Yeah, there's believers in Al-Islam," and he said, "I bear witness that all and most of them are corrupt." So when people get into entanglement with people talking about, oh, you're anti-Semitic and you're doing this and doing that, no, you go back to the what Allah says and his prophet and what the Quran says through Muhammad the prophet, and you don't have to wrestle with those those artificial types of arguments. You go straight to the point. He says not all Jews, just like not all Christians were people like Hitler. Hitler was a Christian. So that doesn't mean all Christians are like Hitler, you see?
Yeah.
And look at the what Brother Michael says. We were forgiving people. We are forgiving people. Where's the forgiving when people are coming down on our athletes and on our politicians? And look what gave rise to Barack Obama, his decency and his cleanliness, his clean life, is what people were attracted to. Look what is happening now with all of these artificial people that are standing before the people talking about they're their leaders. And they lie. They like they drinking water. They lie like they breathing. And nobody say anything because they want the material advantages that they might present to them.
Go ahead. Just a wonderful analysis, that of today's atmosphere that has become so corrupt, we don't have a visible alternative. But I did hear this young man. I think he lost in Ohio. I think his name was Tim Ryan, maybe. That Wisconsin? I think Wisconsin. He lost the.
Wisconsin was Mandela Barnes. I think it's Mandela Barnes.
So this was Ohio then, but he gave his closing speech, and I listened to his conciliation speech, and I thought to myself, I said, if he had been talking like that during the campaign, he might have really won, because he had a positive message of where the country needed to be. And that was something that was missing. That was something that was missing, the message of where the country needs to be, that positive message. He was talking about unity, about love, about respect, about decency and honor. All of those positive words that build life, that something you could build life with. And I just thought someone told me, they'll say, but he might be a little too woozy for to compete with somebody like Ron DeSantis in a major election.
No.
Maybe he needs to run for president. Give us a breath of fresh air to get away from all of this mean-spirited people who really don't see human beings as worthy of respect and decency. And one other thing. This respect for the least of us, the poor, we didn't hear much at all in this political atmosphere about the poor and homeless people. Even though every time we walk out the door, we find that situation, So we have a lot of growing to do. We have we as Muslims gonna have to bring our best influences to situations to really speak to some of the things you must remind these young people that there's life after this life. There's a bigger life.
And you see, DeLacy, Imam DeLacy, when we start talking and addressing the narrative that they established, we lost. We lost because it's full of trap doors.
Yeah.
And we go down trying to justify or trying to counteract what I'm not interested in whether you can believe that or not. Look at the Warnock in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He's he's talking in a language that they have set up in terms of their narrative. Speak from your heart. Speak for the as a human being. Forget that political those political trap doors. Speak as a human being. and have the spirit to speak. Don't come to the microphone like you just got off of work the 4 to 12 shift.
Yeah.
You know. No. So you have to come with a spirit of enthusiasm and hope and understanding that you are the best person to represent the best in people.
Yeah.
I'm a preacher, I preach the gospel, but let me represent the best in human life for all people, regardless of their religious affiliation or regardless of what, because America is a unique environment. Freedom without responsibility is not freedom.
Yeah.
You see, so
you know,
Reverend
William Barber with the Poor People's Campaign, he's been trying to introduce that into the language of the country for a number of years now, the Poor People's Campaign. He's Reverend William Barber, you know, and we don't, he gets disregarded. I think there's no regard in this, in the political climate to recognize that we have people who are in need, and the Democratic Party needs to get a grip and get back to the things that really had people motivated to want to be a part of it. They were interested in the poor and the needy and et cetera, and making sure education was good and the schools were funded properly, et cetera. And, you know, that the weakest of citizens had a voice. But now, you don't hear it. So, Michael, let's go around you and tell us about our time.
Yeah, we've got 2 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm kind of slow on the draw, so to speak. I wanted to get Sister Martha Nyla, the executive director of CW, and to say a word about the 50-year human family plan and some changes that have, you know, taken place, if that's okay. We've got some overtime as well.
Absolutely. Let's do that if we can. Sister Martha, if you're available, please chime in. Share with us some concerns. So while we're waiting for Michael, anything you want to share with us about?
Well, I talk with her about one particular change. The 50-year human family plan will take place air at 3:30 on the second Saturday. Later 3:30 Eastern time, and praise be to Allah. This particular focus with Sister Martha Nyla and her team dealing with the 50-year human family plan is pointing to the need for using language to plan our way forward into the future, really speaking to what preparing to make it in the land of plenty means. You have to plan. You have to talk with one another in terms of where are we going? How can we be more productive? All right, how do we do with that effort? You know, questioning, you know, how we're doing. And as we're doing right now, you know, it's important that, especially for religious leaders, you know, religious leaders have a greater responsibility, and you put on your governmental hat, your political hat, you're serving in that capacity, you're supposed to stand out, you know, with enthusiasm and with, oddly enough, much of the enthusiasm for economic future with all of this talk about, what is it, inflation and recession, the those who are less established, particularly African American people, are more enthusiastic. The other people outside of European America are more enthusiastic about the future, economic future of America. Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And you know, another thing, Imam, I just want to interject, is that we become politically active. All of the tax money that we pay, we can direct that money into areas of concern that will uplift the poor. But we don't go out. We don't encourage the people to vote. We just, you know, everything is like last minute. You're not even registered. Now you go to vote. No, you have to be registered before you vote. Then you have to be registered correctly. And then you have to understand that if you have a felony in many states, you can't vote.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So the cat is always chasing its tail and complaining after the dog catch it, you see? So now our planning should be a part of a voter registration drive and joining with people, other communities that have these organizations. And we as Muslims, we have a voting block that we don't even use. We don't use it. Because you can vote for Republican or Democrat, but vote for the most moral and ethical person who is running for a position. That should be our theme. Who's most moral and ethical, doesn't matter what they look like.
Yeah, and here's a left-handed kind of way of looking at the voting that I got from a pioneer brother in Birmingham, Brother Omar. And he said, during the time when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us not to vote, and here's a free thinker now, he said, I vote. I never stop voting. But I would vote for the one that could, for the devil that could hurt us the least.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
But that's look here, and that's true. That is the truth, and that is the logic. And that should be part of the 50-year plan.
So we don't have to watch that language, though. We can't put that. We can't say the devil that can hurt us the most.
Clean it up.
That devil a good name. We're gonna give him a good name.
No, we will vote for the one who doesn't do the most devilishment.
Yeah. Thank you, Professor. Wordologist. Yeah. Man, we could use that language. We could use that language for sure.
Yes, sir.
So praise be to Allah. So listen, we've covered a little ground here, and I would like us to, let's look at some personal things with these few minutes we got, how a personal behavior, you know, we talked about acts of kindness, and this is here's another opportunity for us to use language in acts of kindness, you know, how do we use that? How do we use language with each other and in our circle of activities to create the proper environment to get rid of the friction and et cetera, you know, like complimentary words to each other. And you know, Allah says in the Quran, say to the believers, either speak well or keep silent. This was a hadith, I believe. But Allah says in the Quran, you who believe, say a word directed to the right. You know, and then again, Allah says, oh, you who believe, speak words of excellence, because Satan wishes to sow discord among you. So this language, careless use of language, creates friction. But what about positive use of language? You know, how do we do things like that or encourage that more among each other? You know, as Muslims, it should be a given, but certainly we have to know that that's important. That's so important. So, Professor, make some comments. Michael, you share with us as well. and we'll get ready to fade this show out.
Well, Generation Z kids are always looking for to be confirmed and to be recognized. So they will do anything, and they will dress in a manner that will fit in, that will be non-controversial to others of their class or classification or their ilk. They would speak so that their language, I think I heard some of the worst language coming out of females, young females in university in the age of 16, 17, 18 years old, than I've ever heard in my life in the streets. They come up with some words that I don't even understand, but they were nasty, you know? So, and then they had no sense of guilt or shyness. When you lose shyness, you've already lost your life. So we have to check people if it causes a lot of anxiety among them. We still have to have the courage to check them, you know, in the barbershop or in the CIA, you know, in the places where you find people of dignity and respect. Hey man, what you doing talking like that?
Just say a word directed to the right, basically what you're saying. Just say a word
exactly
directed to the right. Yeah, you know, my grandmother was had a great skill of doing that, you know, she could talk to one of the worst persons you could imagine. She would say, "Honey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You're much too smart to be behaving like that." You know, she would have a way to just tell you, and she'd call you a sweet name, and then tell you, you know, you're behaving very badly. You're disrespecting yourself. So we do need to be more courageous in how we are confronting things. And, you know, I went way back. So this has been going on for many, many years. This is something we haven't had to confront before. So it's nothing new. But we've just neglected, I think, to in that quiet position before the storm and let things get out of hand. So we have to get busy. Michael, share with us any concerns you may have as we get ready to close up.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Here's Sister Martha Nyla Abdullah. Welcome.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
I apologize
if you called on me earlier. But yes, in light of, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, in light of everything that we're sharing, I just want to highlight the 50-year strategic human family strategic planning initiative that's open. We're going to definitely today, God willing, be at 3:30 for all who want to participate, and we respectfully ask that you know when you come now, because we're getting to the close of this year, when you come, please share that you want documented for sure. Inshallah. And then November 20th, you're speaking of generation, we're hosting, and it'll be hosted by Florida Conference of Muslim Americans here on AM 360 and the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association, the Generation Talk in Action. So you will hear it, see it, and perhaps feel it in your mind, of course. But we definitely want to give respect to the generations, but we will be having giving recognition to those here in the Tampa Bay area, but you come forth, I'm speaking to all who are listening and those who you know, bring forth that human perspective to the generation that we want to communicate with, all right? Inshallah. Some details will come into your email. And Professor Rabbani Muhammad, you've been receiving the email, haven't you, from CWSC?
I don't think so. I might have, but
I haven't seen.
I would have known. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe they're in your spam because CWS, I have the email that you use, and it has a number
okay.
along with it, right? The one from,
yeah.
from with Graceline. I use the one from Graceline. Okay. But I just look forward. It will be from CWSC, and inshallah, I definitely want to have your words, you know, and I know the book and the inspiration with that. We want to connect. We want to connect and communicate and collaborate. Definitely.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. All right. And thank you. Of course, all others, you all know already, DeLacy, Manera, Khalida, Michael, everyone, Kareem, all who were at the beginning and those who want to come on now. We have others that submitted documents to us, and we want to give respect to that as well. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. That'll be 3:30 today, everyone. Inshallah, and to whatever extent that it takes for us to communicate.
All right. Thank you, Sister Nile, for sharing. All right.
Yes, sir.
Any final words?
Yes, sir. Very, very quickly, words are more than just the characters from, you know, the alphabet from A to Z. We've learned that there are a number of things that speak to the mind that bring word communication to our minds. And my last thought is really thinking about how, particularly with our young people, study them. I asked my grandson in a conversation. I was so happy to hear from him because he had been getting in a little trouble. He's 17 years old. And I asked him, I said, what is the most challenging thing that you're dealing with? He said, trying to figure things out. In other words, and he said it with a seriousness too over the phone. You know, and this world is imposing, you know, it imposes its will on grown folks. So you can imagine how,
everybody.
You know, everybody's being impressed upon what's the word we use? Oppression.
Oppressive
language.
Word language.
We're being, yeah, we're being pressed. So, you know, really becoming a good listener, I feel, is one strategy. A good listener, particularly to our young people, and our young adult. And one brother told me about his children. You know, he would try to correct them right there on the spot. And he noticed an attitude in them. Oh, that's so there's dad. There go dad again. You know, there dad. He correct. There he goes. And you know. People have a way they can look you right in your face and turn you right out, tune you, not like a radio station, looking right at you, but zone out on you, you know? Yeah, and it'll be nodding their head just somewhere else, you know? You know? But so he took up the strategy, okay, I'm going to wait for another moment to speak to what I'm looking at now, but I'm not going to get to the, you know, they got to where they got a strategy against hearing what I'm saying. So I'm going to pick my time when I'm going to speak to this issue. And so, you know, we have to be strategic. Sister Martha just talked about this. The 50-year family plan is actually strategizing. You know, how do we feel? How do we navigate? How do we navigate going forward? So I leave it with that, you know.
Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you, Professor. Any final comments or we're going to time out? I know we're right at our break, extended time.
Well, I would say that go in the closet in your house, go in the closet, and pull out that belt, okay? And use that belt now and then. Don't be worried. Don't be thinking about what people say. But use it with love, not abuse.
Yeah.
And you will get results. You will get good results. In fact, you'll get excellent results.
Yeah. And, you know, I know people
don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you what I know will work.
I had great experience
with
kind words. Yeah.
That's a language.
I had great experience with kind words. Yes. You know, but that was for a certain age group. I understand. I'm not one who don't think you can't have to use that belt every now and then. I used to use a little cherry switch on the young ones. And when I pulled it out on one guy, he started to tell him, laughing, hit me with it. Hit me with it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, look, I said, but if you do that again, I'm going to use it on you. And he did it again. I got on them little legs with that little, it was like a little twig. It wasn't even hard. I just took it and got on his leg like a machine gun. He went to dancing.
And that,
they were trying to run.
And that helped. That helped him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, you got him. I was in the bed. And he was laying down there. Every now and then, he would kick me. I said, "Boy, you better quit kicking me before I turn over and put that switch on you again." You hit me. I said, "You told me to." Don't invite me to do it now. You know what I mean? Yeah. He gave me permission to get him, you know? So praise be to Allah. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been talking about positive language. Inshallah, we are closed with Surah Afa. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Don't forget Sister the Preacher's show this evening at 7 and Sister Martha Nala at 3:30 for the Human Family Plan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As one offer, innal insana lafi kusur illa ladina amanu wa amalu salihati wa tawassaw bil haqqi wa tawassaw bis sabr. By the token of time through the ages, surely the human being is at loss, except those who believe, work righteous deeds, join together in the mutual teachings of truth, reality, the haqq, and encouraging patience and constancy. We can't stop now. Salaam alaikum.